This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Pig City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
We made it to Friday. Welcome in. It is Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. I am Tanner Schwint. The crew's back together. And anybody got any ideas for the college football teams? Yes, Micah, you raised your hand first. Please tell us your idea for the college football teams. And if it's bad, we will all boo you aggressively.
I can boo myself if you want. Look, I think the Wyoming boo. Cowboys need to score more points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I think the CU Buffs need to quit turning the ball over.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think Air Force needs to play defense.
Ah.
Sorry, needs to get defensive players rather than playing their cheerleaders.
And
that was a little too harsh.
That was pretty harsh.
And I think UNC needs to continue to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing some really tough opponents, but I don't think they're going to lose by 19. That is ridiculous.
He just took all my takes.
Thank you for joining us. Yep. That was the shortest. That's pretty much all I had.
Yep. Now we're going to talk about Star Trek and Legos.
All right. That's enough, Micah, for the program. I am
Star Trek.
Tanner Schwint. We've got Brady Hull, host of the whole show.
Hello, dude down the hall.
Hello. Governor.
Derbs, you're sitting really low.
Yes.
Why are you that way?
Well, it's comfortable.
Okay.
Is it okay being relaxed here?
No.
This is a real...
It is. Uptight program, very professional, high standards.
I will change my ways.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take a sip of that beer you got over there, Mike. Mike Dance is joining us as well. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
We're off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, we're off to a firing start. Let's start first and talk Colorado State. In all seriousness, where do you go from where these Rams are at? There's nowhere to go but up, but does anyone see any light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train?
It's hard to see that right now. The San Diego State game was, I mean, they're not like a world beater, and they made the Rams look really bad last week. So did Washington State, UTSA. I mean, they didn't blow them out, but the last two games have been, I guess you could kind of call them blowout. Remember Washington State, what was that, 20-3? Can't do anything offensively. So, yeah, it's a tough go there for the Rams, and now you got the coach kind of pulling out the, we're hurt, we got a lot of injuries, and guys aren't playing the well, you know, wide receivers aren't playing the way we thought. We don't have kind of the weapons on offense right now. I mean, you're all the things you start hearing from a coach when things are about to blow up is what we're hearing right now. You could turn it around. I mean, it's possible.
Do you see it happening?
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Today is Friday. The whole show's wrapped up.
Oh, I already made my picks.
Yeah, it's not happening.
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah, and this is like, I love my co-host, Brian Garrett, and if I say it enough times, I'll convince myself of that on Good Morning NoCo. But we're visiting with Kevin Lytle on Tuesday. I'm like, where do we go? You said last week was a must-win. Where do we go from here? He's like, well, it's kind of another must-win at this point. And Brian, who is an eternal optimist, goes, well, what if they beat, let's say they beat Fresno State, and then they beat Hawaii, and they beat Wyoming, and they beat Boise State, and they beat Air Force, and I about laughed him out of the building. Like, what if I was 6'7"? Like, it's not happening.
You would be playing professional
football.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be here right now.
No, yeah. I wouldn't be. Oh. But there's not a prayer's chance in hell, is there?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously all the stats that I look like will tell you the same thing, you know. It's plays over 30 yards, they're 125th in the nation. Plays over 20 yards, they're 121st. Like, there's no explosive abilities other than trick plays, like, and that was once. Like, it's just, it's tough. And then the defense is kind of on the same side of things. Like, you know, they do make their opponents work for the most part, but it's not a good recipe to win football games.
The offense is bad. The defense is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad football team. Like, plain and simple, that's what it is.
Well, and I'm like, if Freddie Banks was that terrible as DC, wouldn't we have seen some marked improvement by now?
Yeah, you. The idea was that this is going to be like Freddie Banks' defense would give up yards. They wouldn't necessarily give up touchdowns. They didn't give up a lot of scores. This defense was supposed to be like, hey, you might give up yards, but you're risking it and you're getting sacks and you're forcing fumbles and you're getting interceptions. You're doing all that stuff. You're not seeing that either. The interception they got last week was called off because they were offside. So the good things that are happening don't last long because you're kind of snake bit. And that's what happens to bad teams.
Four sacks on the season. Oh. Less than one sack a game.
Yep, and that was supposed to be the improvement was we're an aggressive defense. We're not going to bend. You know, Freddie Banks was bend but don't break.
Yeah.
This was a, hey, we might break, but we're causing breaks, too. We're picking sixes. We're doing all that stuff. You're not seeing it.
I can't stand what I heard from Norvell when you were talking about that earlier this week on the whole show, Brady. Of like, listen, excuses are for losers. I'm sorry. It's not like your quarterback went down. You pulled him out of that game. And I get it, Tanner Morley. I get you. But every single year, teams have injuries. Find a way. And while you were healthy, by the way, you weren't winning anyways. So I hate the excuses train.
Yeah, that comes back to the conversation we had last week, like the system things. Like if everything is going the right direction with your system, like you should be able to plug and play a little bit. I do understand that they have probably more injuries than most, but this, like, from week to week, they don't seem to run the same system. So they're just kind of throwing noodles against the wall to see it, hope it sticks. Like, yeah. It's tough.
Noodles against the wall. I like that.
Yeah.
Noob texting in. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 888-530-0043. Noob says, I will donate $100 to the Weld County Food Bank if CSU does not win tonight.
If
they don't win, he's going to donate $100. I'll match your $100 if they win. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
The food bank's going to love this.
They're rooting for CSU to lose.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Like, I honestly don't think I see another win on their schedule this year. I don't see.
Wyoming, maybe. Wyoming's bad.
Wyoming may beat them 3-0.
Maybe. Like, CSU might block a punt.
Yeah.
Because Jay Sauvell doesn't believe in special teams either. He doesn't have a special teams coach.
He went to the Steve Adazio School of Special Teams.
Yeah, nothing says I care about special teams like not paying money to hire a coach to coach the special teams.
Does anybody have anything good to say about the state of college football that we cover?
Air Force is phenomenal to watch.
They're entertaining. And they're giving up big gashes, so but that's fun to watch. If you're just hammering overs, then you're enjoying Air Force football.
Zark, I'll point it myself.
Yeah. Who would have thought
Zarka is amazing?
Yeah, they're throwing the ball more than they've ever thrown it.
That's one of the stats I had was they've thrown for more yards this year than they did all of last year.
It's amazing. It's a completely different team. They're still doing all their triple option-y stuff, but they're airing it out a lot more. Middle of the field's wide open.
It's also not good, right? Like, not to be the oh, but this.
CSU was still scoring 40 points and losing, you'd at least go,
I'd still watch.
That offense. And Jay might, if you were good on one side of the ball, it might actually protect your chances. Because you can go, man, if you could just figure out the defense, then you'd be good, but they're bad in every area. At least Wyoming has something.
But he put himself in Jay Norvell put himself in a spot that he couldn't, like, even if the offense was good and the defense was atrocious, you fired the guy last year. This is your handpicked guy. This is take two on it. Like, I personally feel like Norvell has just been finding the next man up to try and throw under the bus, to try and elongate his process. And a lot was to be made of Matt Mummy making the play calls. I'll be honest, I early mornings for me, I didn't see the end of this game. Did you see a marked difference? Kevin Lytle said Mummy was for sure calling the plays. Did you see any difference?
The flea flicker was cool. The setup for the flea flicker was cool, but the game started off so bad. I mean, Jordan Ross takes off, and he's trying to outrun the entire defense and go around and ends up losing 5 yards, and then it's a bad snap, and you're punting from inside the 10, or inside the 15 at least. I didn't see it. I'm rooting for it. I like Matt Mummy a lot. But I didn't see it.
The only thing I noticed was the tempo was different. The tempo was a little bit more up tempo than, like, it looked like the play calls got in there quicker, and then it was ready to go. Like, it, when Norvell was calling plays, it looked like it was always a challenge and fighting the play clock to me. So that was the only thing that I noticed. Like, I don't think it helped or hurt in any way, but I did notice that they tried to go more up-tempo.
One thing we've been begging for is for them to run the ball, and they ran the ball this week or last week more than they threw the ball.
And I'll throw it out there, no Taj Bullock.
That might not be a Matt Mummy thing.
I think it's a Norvell, and I am too. I don't know where you guys are at, but
I'm okay with it.
You can't run a basic offense.
I don't like the timing of it, though. Yeah. I don't like when they choose to do it. They choose to do it in the times where everybody in the world knows what you're trying to do. I think they should randomly throw it out, like on a 2nd and 7, you know, and have him just throw the ball. Just be like, hey, no matter what, man, get this ball out, because you need to show a defense that you're, when he's in, there's a threat to throw.
Where are you at on it, Mike?
I'm not huge on it, I guess. The, you know, you look at what UNC did by the name is escaping.
Gibbs.
Yeah, when they put Gibbs in at like right at the beginning of that South Dakota game, like that was perfect. Like you're kind of surprising them with it. But like Brady says, there's a time and a place for it.
I'm under the school of thought that until you get any rhythm with your offense, you run your offense out there until you can find something, because outside of maybe the first half against Washington, have we seen this offense have any rhythm or competency at all?
Yeah.
Other than that final drive of the final two drives, Jackson Brousseau against UTSA.
Sure. Yep.
I'm with you, Tanner. I don't think there's too much of a spot for it while you're, you know, 120th in the nation in offense. It's like they visited all the analytics that I love, and this is going to make me sound just terrible, but like
you
when
do a good job at that.
I know. But like, every 3rd and 2, every 3rd and 4, every 3rd and 3, they're like, well, that's our best option. So that's what we're going to run. So instead of, you know, picking and choosing your spots, they're like, all right, fine. This is, when we get to this situation, that's Taj Bullock. And I don't agree with that. But I until they prove something, like, I just don't think it's worthwhile.
It's a less efficient tush push. I mean, you know they're going to run it, but it's more stoppable. Let's talk about CU a little bit against TCU last week. TCU gets the win and the cover on one of the last plays of the game.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I believe we were all on the TCU side. Made a little extra cash on that. I think the big storyline this week, though, has been Coach Prime's health. And I think there's a lot of question marks. And Brady, I asked you earlier this week, you know, is it back to the Mike Bobo era for CSU when Mike Bobo had had his own health concerns? Where are you at with Coach Prime? Are you worried about the rest of the season?
Not necessarily the rest of the season. I do believe, you know, there are the real negative people against Coach Prime. Like, oh, yeah, go figure. They're struggling, and now he's bringing up the health concerns.
That's crazy,
those are legitimate. He did have a procedure on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was. It's hard to stay focused when you're hurting. And when your health is messing with you, and you have to take your shoe off and sit down at one point in a game, that's a difficult thing to ask of anybody to do their job when they're hurting like that. So, you know, the question is, like, how long does he want to keep doing this? Does he want to keep being under this? It's a lot of stress, and he puts a lot of that on himself. He talks a really big game. But I don't think he's going anywhere as long as he can help it. So, but it's still, if you're the business side of CU, you're certainly wondering, like, how long is this really going to go? Because we've invested a lot into this human.
Yeah, I think he truly cares about the kids, too. So somebody's probably going to have to wheel him out.
Yeah,
there,
I do. I do believe that. Yeah.
To get him away from the coaching sideline or an extended surgery or an extended prognosis that they're like, yeah, you really shouldn't do this. It's life or death kind of thing. You know, as far as this week goes, I think the players honestly rally around him.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Derbs, and not something that I was really thinking about. Is there anything that he can't do from being up in the booth?
But I think
that's kind of part of why you hire him, I guess, is you want him prowling the sidelines.
Because we've all kind of agreed, like, we think he's a great motivator, right? Not necessarily a great X's and O's coach. It's hard to motivate from the booth.
And that's a fair point. Even if he's in the booth, the camera is going to show him 100 times during the game. That's probably an exaggeration,
true.
But
yeah, well, it'd be like Taylor Swift up there.
Yeah,
you'd be, they'd be spotting him all the time. I don't know. I've kind of found myself like gaining an extra ounce of respect for Coach Prime a little bit more, because this is tough to go through. And I remember the times with Mike Bobo and where when it got south. And at the end of it all, it was kind of like, you know, we could keep you for one more year and try that, or we could just kind of all agree that maybe that stress is going to be too much on you at this stage. But I just don't think that's how Coach Prime's wired.
It's unfortunate he's going through that on the actual football front. Three picks by Caden Salter. Saw CU fans clamoring for another quarterback change. You sticking with the guy, Mike?
Yeah, I'm staying with Salter. Like, he threw three last week, but he only has four for the season. So it's not like that's something he's doing week after week after week.
Yeah, I'm still riding on the Salter train. I saw the whole Twitter thing on Juju Lewis and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's 19 years old. Like, and he's small. When they rolled him out there against Delaware, like he's tiny.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't, especially against an Iowa State team. This is big boy football team here. Like, I don't think he stands up to that yet. Like, he could probably play against a TCU, a West Virginia. The teams that like to move it up and down that necessarily aren't a grinded out football team, but this ain't it this week.
I like Caden Salter.
I know you're high on him.
I think he makes a lot of really bad decisions, mm-hmm. a lot of negative plays that he's putting out there. You know, obviously the three interceptions last week, the taking the big sacks and that stuff. If he can find a way to cut that out, it would be fascinating to see him if he could get rid of those interceptions. I think he's pressing. I do think, you know, I know he's making an excuse a couple weeks ago saying, hey, the benching kind of messed with me. Some guys, that's just true. That does mess with you when you get benched.
Do you think it's more of that, or do you think it's more square peg, round hole in Pat Shurmur's offense?
Probably that, too.
This receiving core is horrible, also. I think they were expecting a lot more out of Sincere Brown than when he brought him.
Huh? They're kids, Mike.
They are, but that receiving core is not good.
They're not good.
I don't know. Is that a better term for you?
I mess with you. I mess
with you. You're the guy that calls them ass all the time.
Yeah, there's...
No.
Don't you do that.
No. Brady's making... Sorry, Mike. But
I'm just saying, there's no separation being there. He has to stand back there longer than he wants to get rid of the ball, and that's a killer.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, we're off and rolling. I have never once called a college team, maybe a team. Do you have it loaded up? Yeah, we can talk about it during the break. Let's get out of here. I don't want to be proven
Never said
wrong.
Anything bad about a preps kid either.
No. Now that needs some clarification,
does it?
I think, yeah. Well, I was just a kid myself. 2:22 the time. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. Thank you, Micah.
Yeah, Micah, that is actually my favorite Dwight Yoakam song.
Good one, Mike.
Thanks for jumping in there, Mike.
No, shut up. I'm so tired.
I'm so mean to Mike.
I am so tired of you. We're only halfway through the season, and I cannot stand you anymore.
I don't know why you just decided that Mike is like...
I know.
You're just going to go like, after him all the time.
Because I've been waiting for that. Finally. I've been waiting for him just to finally push back a little.
I bring you drink every week. Yes. I sit here and take your crap. And I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
how does that make you feel, Mike? When he does what he
does. It's a safe space here.
It's a safe space. We're in the tree. The nest.
Yeah, I...
Not being recorded.
I'm done with him.
As you should be.
Mm-hmm. That was the greatest shut up I've ever received on radio. That's well done. That's really well done. Okay, the UNC Bears back in action this week after the bye week. I thought this was interesting. Ed Lamb on Good Morning NOCO. He goes, I wouldn't say this on the podcast because I think the Big Sky Commissioner may listen to the podcast. I doubt he's listening to local radio. He goes, nice. It is my third year of being the head coach at UNC, and every year coming off of a bye, the team we play also is coming off of a bye. So he's like, I'm sick of it. Every school who they go up against has a bye, and then they play UNC. That's true again this year, and this year it's a really good team, and it's Idaho. Mike, let's get to our right-hand construction opponent construction.
Yeah, Idaho quarterback Josh Wood, 927 yards, 60% completion, 6 TDs, 1 interception. He is also the leading rusher for that team. 48% third down conversion rate for Idaho, which is awesome. They're also 9 of 10 on fourth downs. Wide receiver Ryan Gisero, he has 3 TD receptions this year. Defense, only 5 sacks and 1 interception on the season. Linebacking core is pretty good, and there's really not much production at all from the defensive line.
You got anything? Oh, I guess you're... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I do. Yeah, so I thought this was an interesting stat. UNC has the 12th hardest schedule in the FCS conference, right? Scheme of things. 44th best defense with that. I think that is very, very respectable. That is probably 20 to 30 spots lower than I thought it would be, so kudos to them. I didn't realize that defense was that good.
Yeah. Yeah, defensively, they've been outstanding. As you mentioned on the Idaho side, Joshua Wood is a really good quarterback. I think he's better than Caden Salter, actually, since we were talking about him so much.
Right.
But this is a guy that can run a lot, but he's not looking to run. He's moving around, like, I know you love this, he moves around like Lamar Jackson, where he's constantly setting
ever.
Up and looking. His eyes are always downfield. He
can
doesn't
he
turn his
make
back.
The throw?
He can
unlike
make the
Lamar
throw.
Can?
He had 262 yards against Montana last week, passing. He's a good quarterback. He's a someone to watch out for.
I think the big thing, too, 7 starters on offense for UNC were hurt by the end of that Idaho State game. Sounds like the majority of them are going to come up. Ed gave us a bunch of coach speak. I'm sure he did. You as well, Brady, on the podcast.
Yeah, it's tough on Wednesdays to do that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot of information on Wednesday about your availability.
Yeah, what that looks at least like. You're not willing to share, too. Right?
Yep.
I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship. But Eric Gibson Jr., I mean, we've all got him ranked pretty darn high in terms of the quarterbacks around this area. I think he I don't know. What is he going to have to do Saturday, in your mind, Mike, to help his team find a way to beat Idaho? They're 19.5-point underdogs, are the UNC Bears.
So the one thing about Eric Gibson Jr. that we can't talk about enough is with what happened at UNC last year at the quarterback position, he's come in this year after an injury again, and he has completely stabilized that position. And he's playing well. Like, I think he's up around 65% completion.
66%, yep.
Completion percentage on the year, which is, that's the number. 65 is the number that I'm always looking at for these guys. Not throwing a lot of touchdowns, but also he's not turning the ball over.
You're right.
And he's not a huge threat to run, but if it's open, he's going to take it and he's going to get you 5 or 6 yards.
That's a great point, too, because that's what they didn't have last year, was once they started going through the quarterback. Now, in fairness, they went Peter Castelli
third,
and then Hank
yeah.
Gibbs, and then they were in the third, then they were in the fourth. But even Hank Gibbs wasn't putting up monster numbers. I mean, Gibson has put up some really nice numbers for this team.
Over 1,100 yards passing already from Eric Gibson Jr. And what I love about the timing of this bye week, not just because of the injuries, but now, I mean, steady Eddie, right? Ed Lamb is just going to look at his team and say, what can we do well? What can't we do well? And right now, it seems like they can throw the ball. So I think they may start to lean on that a little bit more. And instead of, you know, he said this, he's got to be better at running the ball, but use those short passes as a compliment, you know, and maybe a substitution to that many run plays, Dustin.
Yeah, 100%. They're going to need that this weekend because Idaho operates a different style of offense that they've seen. So they like to use the ground as a slow tempo, and then they will pass it, and they'll go really fast when they throw. So it's an offsetting kind of thing where it's not just one straight style of football through the entire game. So they're like, UNC is going to have to put up points. They're going to have to trust you know, all facets of the game. And I'm going to imagine Coach Lamb is going to want to dictate the pace as much as possible here to keep that high-powered Idaho offense off the field.
I'd love to see Ed's record against the spread in his lifetime, too, because he's really good.
This year, especially.
In these massive games of keeping them close. So UNC at Idaho tomorrow, 3 p.m., is the kickoff on that one on ESPN+. You're listening to the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff Show presented by Big City Roadhouse right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
With that music,
that's
we should be
good.
Like in Odessa, Texas, talking about high school football is what I feel like.
Tumbleweed rolling
Yeah, correct. Or Wyoming. We could talk about Wyoming with that as well. But I do want to go. I want to go to the Springs first. I want to go down and talk about Air Force here. Taking on UNLV, obviously, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And 1:30 tomorrow. Air Force loves to put up points. We talked about it earlier. Can't play a lick of defense. Mike, let's go to our right-hand construction, opponent construction.
Yeah, UNLV's offense, O-line is pretty weak. They're very balanced on offense, 52% pass, 48% run. And quarterback Calandra, running back Thomas, and wide receiver Bradley lead the way for the offense. Defense, they have 9 interceptions as a team. Pretty average across the board if you look at PFF grades.
Does the matchup UNLV just had with Wyoming, does that do anything for you in this one? Or you're always like, it's all about the matchups, but nothing for you?
No, huh? Not one bit, honestly. No.
Why?
Because it's two separate entities.
I guess with Air Force, I'll go with you on. So yeah, I strike that from the record.
Two different styles of football. Like, it's the weather is different. The environment is different. Like, none of that really ever matters.
That is the most insane take I've ever heard from a week-to-week basis, that you can't tell what a football team is going to be on a week-to-week basis.
So you're telling me that every coach around this area goes, you know what, UNLV played Wyoming last week, we should do exactly what they did.
If they had success, then yeah. No, no, obviously last week they didn't.
But they don't
week. If a team has success, proven success against somebody, you're telling me that the New York Giants didn't look and say, well, Denver had this success against Jalen Hurts, we're going to try and implement some of that?
So you just handpick it. So you're basing, you're basing the entire thing, though, on one instance. So you're going, oh, the Denver Broncos did this well, let's do a piece.
But if
this.
It doesn't matter, then why do coaches watch film every week?
For player involvement. Like, it's just literally what did players miss or do correctly?
You don't think it's
in their own
schematically
system.
From the other team?
No, 100% not.
I mean, I see what he's saying. Like, it does vary, especially when you're going up against Air Force.
Air Force was maybe a bad example to pick this argument about.
Yeah, but if you're looking at how UNLV did against Wyoming and you're basing that off of, and you're watching film, oh, they had 2 blocked punts for touchdowns.
Yeah, right.
You're going to work on that punt team a little more this
week. Yeah, those are very, oh, watch out. They could get in there. There's... I kind of in the middle on that take because I do think it does vary. You can watch film till you're blue in the face, but matchups dictate a lot of what you're doing.
Sure. What do your numbers say about this matchup, Derbs?
UNLV is terrible against the ground, so Air Force should have an awful lot of success there. Basically, UNLV will do whatever they want to do, just like every other team has on offense. Like, Air Force isn't stopping anyone. They're 135th in the country in total defense.
Is Air Force your favorite college football team this year, just because you're going to hammer those overs and feel
A little bit. Well, honestly, for our teams, like, when we break down our teams on Front Range Spare Change, like, this is a breath of fresh air because you know what you're going to get. Like, every other team, like, when you're dealing with below average teams to bad teams, like, it's really hard to describe, well, which one's worse? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. what do they do worse that this team can exploit, but they're not good at this either? So, like, that's where it gets tricky.
And CSU has had you guys. Can we talk about the pick that you gave in the CSU game? Because they've had your mind in such a blender for the last 2 years that you went a very interesting route on Front Range Spare Change.
Yeah, it's real, real bad. So we went to special teams this week.
Pretty good.
Over 2.5 field goals made tonight.
Oh, yeah.
By CSU?
See? Yeah, I would take that.
And I do think that's a legit bet. Like, yeah. Picking the spread and picking what they do, because, like, some weeks they're great on the ground, and then some weeks they go up-tempo, and some weeks they try to figure out what they're doing throwing, and, like, you just, from a gambling side of things, you just can't assess that.
Yeah. Maybe Norvell's been watching too much film.
He could, or he could be listening to us.
They'd be better if he was doing that.
He's probably
that.
Sitting in his office right now.
Right, fuming. He's that, like, yeah.
That
yeah.
guy says that we're Tanner. 123rd in the nation?
Yeah.
What could it mean? He's connected to the gift. What could it all mean? But Air Force, I mean, they're going away from your beloved style of just smash mouth football. Obviously, they still got it in there, but do you like seeing a couple more passes coming out of Air Force?
I do. It's fun. I do like watching the triple option, because I think that could be home run in and of itself.
Yep.
But the fact that they're mixing in a lot of these unique passes, it's an even better style of Air Force football. I've always said, like, if you could incorporate 10 to 12 to 15 good, solid passing plays with what they do, they could be really fun to watch. And that's what we're seeing for maybe the first time consistently ever for Troy Calhoun.
Mm-hmm. Zarka is absolutely amazing at this point. Since he's taken over, 850 yards passing, 448 yards rushing, 13 combined touchdowns.
Now, we'll see who's going to get the shame of crown coming up, but I haven't picked him yet, and I'm pretty excited about that this week.
Yeah.
Because I've got a sneaking suspicion there's going to be a heated debate over who's getting the shame of crown as well. Terms, I love you so much, and I love that I have now had two of the three of you blow up at me, and we're still in this first hour. And I've said this to you a lot. I think the analytics do come in. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in a game like this when Air Force plays just such a different style of football. But it's just I think Brady's probably the most accurate is in between both of those. And you watch the film on this Air Force team. And outside of Zarka, though, who are you looking for? Because last year, Cade Harris was incredible for this team, and he's been relatively quiet.
Well, and that's what's weird. Dylan Carson was huge last year. I believe he was the leading rusher for the team last year, and he's just not getting the carries. And when he does get the carries, they're really not going anywhere. Cade Harris has been huge in the passing game, though. Mm. Not as much in the rushing game, but he's been really good in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's nice about this is they had a couple big plays to the tight end last week. Like, you can mix and match when you're keeping your opponent off balance like they do. I mean, Air Force is the number 27th ranked offense in the country. Like,
that's crazy.
That's impressive. Yeah. They're number 8 on the ground. They're number 19 in drive efficiency. Like, they really do whatever they want on offense, and it's entertaining.
Is it going to start resulting in wins?
Probably not. No, because, I mean, when you're dead last, basically, in defense, like, that still matters, obviously. But it will keep them in a ball game an awful lot, though.
Which they have been all year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been in a lot of these games.
Well, and you look at the conference that they play into. UNLV, then home against Wyoming. Then they got Army, then at San Jose State, at UConn, home versus New Mexico, and then at Colorado State. Can they threaten in the Mountain West? Or do you think this team's written off and it's just going to be fun for enjoyment? Go ahead, Mike.
I think it's just going to be enjoyment of watching that offense. The defense is just so bad that I no matter how many points they score, the other team has the ability to score one more point than Air Force will.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they've already played so many Mountain West games, too. I mean, they've played
Utah State,
and Hawaii. They're already 0-3. In the conference, so that's what's tough. Is I do think they could make a splash and win some games, but a few of those games won't matter in their standings. Army and UConn, that won't help them out. So if you lose three in the conference, that's probably it.
Which they're at already.
Three is at that limit of maybe you get in as the second seed or whatever, or the second team. But I think. They're just too far away right now.
Brady, what are you and I going to argue about today? I don't know. I've got Derbs yelling at me. I've already had Mike telling me to shut up. And Go Pokes on X.
You're doing a great job.
Micah, you want to argue? What do you want to argue about? What topping we get on our single topping large pizza from Papa John's when we use code KFKA and get it for $7.99?
Well, I mean, Papa John's pizza. It's hard to get a topping that's not good on a Papa John's pizza.
That you are a walking billboard. The guy, the guy gets it. Yep. Like I want to be so mad at you for that. You
if,
just get
if
it.
If they have anchovies, then
no,
that's
I love yogurt. Anchovies.
Really?
No. I was just trying to pick an argument with somebody. But that is true. You use code KFKA for any Northern Colorado Papa John's pizza on a carryout single topping large pizza, $7.99. Use code KFKA.
Delicious.
Very good, Derbs. 2:48 the time. Now you're listening to the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff Show. We said 3 per hour, Micah.
That was last week. Last week was special.
Welcome back in Rocky Mountain College Kickoff, presented by Big City Roadhouse. I had lunch over there earlier this week. Big City Roadhouse. Get done. Hey, eat the steak and bacon hoagie over there. Delicious. Pop in one of my little... I'm a nicotine fiend. Pop in one of my nicotine pouches. That means, Tanner, you fatty, you need to be done eating. Here comes Don, the owner, and he goes, Tanner, I want you to try this for me. I'm trying to perfect my green chili, and brought out green chili cheese fries. You'd be damned if there wasn't an empty plate sitting in front of me after that. They've perfected the green chili over at Big City Roadhouse. Now, check it out. They've got great happy hours specials as well. Big City Roadhouse. College football, kind of weird, and I think I have to... I don't think I want to admit that I was wrong yet to Dustin, especially after the last segment, but... What's your new name for Arch Manning?
Righty Tim Tebow.
He's not that bad, right?
It's been pretty bad.
But he's not Tim Tebow bad.
Tim Tebow was one of the greatest college football players in the world.
You're all the way out on Arch?
Yeah, I just don't see it. The accuracy is not good, and
you don't like the arm slot?
Yeah, it throws like Uncle Rico.
Yeah. Derbs is over here giving like a sidearm throw. Motion. It is.
He does have a weird motion.
Which is odd, and I think Derbs said it last week. Like, you look at Eli and Peyton, and it is so mechanical, and it's right where it needs to be. And then Arch is just out there just, yeah, God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Didn't have any arch on that.
Yeah. Good job, Mike.
I'll take that one.
Yeah, because he's agreeing with you, and you're still mad at me from the last segment. I still just can't write him off. Like, would he be one of one? Absolutely not. But I can't write him off yet. I think if anyone's going to figure out the mechanics,
if his name wasn't Manning, would you write him off?
Yes.
If it was just like Johnson,
yes. If it was, yeah, absolutely.
Arch Johnson,
yeah.
It's a good thing he's coming back. Peroni's
disease.
So then you have to write him off.
Are you being serious over there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly because it is. What do you think, Mike?
Nobody liked my Arch Johnson and Peroni's disease joke.
What about Arch McDonald?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Is it my job to keep this train on the tracks? Yeah. Because that's terrible. Stop
that's
talking.
That's a great joke.
Arch McDonald is better.
No, you stop talking too.
It's a joke off. It's a joke off.
Be careful.
No, I said it right. I said it correctly.
Be careful. And then how about maybe the surprise of the weekend last weekend, UCLA? Did your analytics have that one on the board, Derbs?
Yeah, no, Pat. Yeah, UCLA is terrible. But that quarterback was phenomenal. Yeah, three touchdowns, I think, through the air, two on the ground. He controlled the entire game. It was phenomenal stuff.
That's the Tennessee guy that transferred because he wasn't getting enough NIL money.
Correct. Yep.
A name I can't say.
Yeah, I was spectacular. I think it was. It's the first time in a long time. I don't want to throw out a year that I'm going to misquote, but in the James Franklin era, is the first time they lost back to back games in forever.
Is he starting to feel it a little bit? He hasn't won a big game since he's been at Penn State, and then you lose to Oregon, and then drop one to an 0-4 UCLA team. Is James Franklin on the hot seat?
Yeah, probably in those big time programs. Yeah, that's about enough to get people riled up for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Speaking of hot seats, Jay Norvell tonight, what's the most important thing you need to see out of tonight's game?
A win.
I would just honestly say something different. Like, if you're going to go up-tempo, keep it up-tempo. If you're going to stick to a plan, stick to a plan. Don't make random mistakes here and out.
That's I was going to kind of go in that same direction, like some sort of identity on offense.
I think the biggest thing you need to see is butts in the seats. Because if there's not, if apathy has completely set in,
yeah, but
7
what
o'clock,
makes you, what makes you think they're going to show up if Jay Norvell's gone next?
Because
week?
I think that sends a message to the fans that says, "Hey, we still care. We do care about winning football and a winning program, and this is not acceptable for our standards. Stay committed to us. We're going to get this figured out." If I'm John Weber, Norvell would have been gone after last week, because you've got to signify to the fan base at some point. You know, and Kevin said, Kevin Lytle said that. Listen, those season ticket holders, they've already paid their money. But now it's about client retention, right? Now it's about making sure that they want to spend their money again. You want those advertisers. If I'm a big-time business in Fort Collins, I've got a huge billboard at Canvas Stadium. I need to see people in those seats. Otherwise, you know what? I'm actually going to bail out of this contract here. That's why I think that's the most important thing. Hell, the Rams Nation guys, they're not going.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, one of them.
Mike's
Joel's
not going.
Yeah, but you get diehard fans that are posting out, "Hey, for the first time in a long time, I'm not going to do my tailgate thing." And these are big voices amongst the fan base. So when you start seeing that, it's a rough go.
Is that sorry, Derbs? What's the big difference between I'm kind of leaning towards firing him now, but what's the big difference between firing him now and at the end of the season?
$1.5 million. $1.5 million.
Yeah. You weigh that compared to what you might lose and people not buying beer and paying for parking and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know what the math is on that, but you got to weigh it.
Well, Derbs will go to the numbers guy.
You're going
to
need $2 beers to get those kids in the stands.
Yeah, especially on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. All right, hour number two, Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Who's got the shame of crown? We'll hear from Brian Roth as well. You're listening to Rocky Mountain College kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.